Welcome to the Red Fox Roto Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is July 21st, and it's been a while, but I'm back from my time away, and I'm ready to dig in on all the trade rumors, the speculation that we're going to be just bombarded with over these next 2 weeks. So we'll probably go a bit longer today as I catch up with all that's been going on. The trade deadline falls on August 3rd this year, so we've got 13 days left for teams to figure out if they're in, they're out, or if they're just content to sit by and do little to nothing. So right now, a lot of what's out there is still just pure speculation, guesswork, loosely connecting the dots on who's selling, who's buying, who's available, you know, potential landing spots. There's very little concrete information or reporting that we can act on yet. So in this episode, I'll try to highlight what I think is relevant, but we're mostly just, you know, laying that foundation for kind of what to expect in these next 2 weeks. And we'll begin, as I frequently do, alphabetically, in Arizona. So the Diamondbacks are above 500. They're a half game out of a playoff spot. So they seem unlikely to be deadline sellers, if that is to hold. But closer Paul Sewald, he's pitching on a $1.5 million expiring contract. He would make an excellent trade candidate if Arizona falls out of the race. That's just not on the table as of now. Sewald has fared poorly in his non-save situations. Yet he's only blown one save in 24 tries. So the Diamondbacks have little incentive to replace him. 2025's early season, we'll say co-closer, Justin Martinez, is rehabbing from last year's elbow surgery. He threw a live batting practice session to Jordan Lawler on Monday. So Martinez should be able to return at some point, possibly August. Maybe like mid-August, which, you know, would help bolster that bullpen as well as any trade acquisition would. So Justin Martinez could be an interesting low-cost stash in leagues where he's available, but as a lottery ticket only. All right, we move on to the Chicago Cubs, and the Cubs should be heavily involved in the trade market for both starting pitchers and bullpen help. Daniel Palencia is hopeful to return by around mid-August, but hopeful isn't good enough for a team with practically a full pitching staff on the injured list. I mean, just listen to these names. As starters, they've got Ben Brown, Edward Cabrera, Cade Horton, and Justin Steele on the IL. In relievers, their closer, Daniel Palencia, Phil Maton, Hunter Harvey, Porter Hodge, Shelby Miller. I mean, no big market playoff contender will just sit idly by with so much talent unavailable to them due to injury. So we could see the Cubs make a push for a true closer, given the uncertainty around Daniel Palencia's health, but at least one, probably more, high leverage arms that they can pair with Palencia, if Palencia is even able to return healthy and effective. Now we'll stay in Chicago with the White Sox and the team's surprising run as the division leader in the Central. It continues. So they should definitely look to add some impactful pieces at the trade deadline, but I wouldn't bank on the White Sox making a big splash in, you know, what is still considered a rebuilding year, or a year that's at least part of their rebuild. Now their bullpen overall has been a weakness outside of Grant Taylor. And you know, you can include lefties Sean Newcomb and Brian Hudson. But the White Sox never wanted Grant Taylor to be their closer this year. He's kind of in that role out of necessity after Sir Anthony Dominguez failed as the team's, you know, one of their offseason free agent additions. So it wouldn't be shocking at all to see the White Sox add a high leverage arm who can handle some ninth inning save chances. which would free up Grant Taylor to return to that more versatile role like he had most of the year. All right, from Chicago, we'll head up north to Detroit. And the Tigers are definitely one of the most interesting trade deadline teams to watch. We are going to see and hear a lot of words spent on the Tarek Skubal trade watch. Right now, the Tigers are 6 games under 500. They're 4.5 games out of a playoff spot. They could possibly sell off closer Kenley Jansen, who has a 2027 club option, and setup man Kyle Finnegan, who's under contract for 2027, has a 2028 mutual option. This team could also add to a weak bullpen if they decide to hold Tarek Skubal and, you know, try to compete. Will Vest is out with a fractured elbow, might not return this year. So there wouldn't be a clear winner if Jansen and Finnegan are moved. The winner would be if one of them remained. But I'd be really intrigued by the idea of a rehabbing Jackson Job finishing out the season in the bullpen before stretching back out as a starter in the offseason. But right now, he's obviously just a complete wild card at this point. All right, next up, we've got the Kansas City Royals. And Alex Lang has lasted longer in the closer role than I ever thought he would. But we are seeing the wheels just not just falling off, flying off at this point. Lang has allowed 8 earned runs over his last 3 games. That includes a loss and 2 blown saves. So just like the position Lucas Erceg put the Royals in earlier this season, there's just no way the Royals can keep running Lang out there for save chances much longer. The Royals are one of the worst teams in the league. They could end up trading a lot of their current bullpen. I don't know if they go full Minnesota Twins from last year. But Lucas Erceg, Alex Lang, Matt Strom, John Schreiber, these are all at least candidates to be traded. Strom and Schreiber are their impending free agents, so they're the likeliest to go. And the Royals did just add left-handed Aaron Bummer on a minor league deal. So that would, you know, give them that runway to trade away a lefty like Matt Strom, or possibly even Daniel Lynch IV, who would, you know, obviously return a much nicer, would get a much nicer return in trade since he's the younger, you know, better pitcher. He has additional years of club control. I'd love to see the Royals just let Lynch, who is their best reliever, take over the ninth, let him see what he can do. They don't seem to have any interest in doing that. Whatever happens, though, change is coming to Kansas City soon. It has to be. I just don't have a great feel on who stands to benefit the most yet. All right, we head out west now. We'll start in LA with the Angels, who will be sellers. They have the second worst winning percentage in baseball. Only the Rockies are worse right now. And in the past few weeks, I mean, I've thoroughly documented the elite usage of closer Kirby Yates. He's thrown the ninth inning almost exclusively since all the way back on May 20th. Of course, he still only has 3 saves on the season, but Yates has pitched very effectively. He has a 106 whip, K rate's over 30%, K minus walk over 20%. These are very good numbers. Yates is a free agent after the season. He would only be owed a prorated portion of $5 million by any team that acquires him. So Yates will be dealt. I think we can be confident in that. And there will be a new closer in Anaheim. The two main candidates would be Sam Bachman and Ryan Zephyrjohn. Bachman hasn't pitched earlier than the 8th inning since May 30th. So you can look at that and say, oh, it makes sense for Kurt Suzuki to move everyone back an inning, let Bachman handle the 9th rather than the 8th. But I don't think we're going to see that happen. Suzuki had that chance on Sunday when he bypassed Yates for a save opportunity, yet Sam Bachman handled the 8th inning again that night. It was Ryan Zephyrjohn who got that save opportunity in the ninth. And even though he allowed a solo homer to the first batter he faced, he got the next three guys out on balls in play, got his third save of the year. Now, we've seen Zephyrjohn in this position before earlier this season, where he had the chance to grab the closer job, couldn't get it done at that time. And if you look at his season in totality, you could say he's sporting an unsustainable 204 BABIP. And despite that lucky BABIP, he still has a 3.91 ERA, due mostly to a huge 15.6% walk rate. But Zephyrjohn has been a far better pitcher this past month, where he has a 1.5 ERA, a 0.66 whip, and most importantly, a 20-4 strikeout-to-walk ratio in 12 innings. Those four walks in 12 innings is a major improvement for him. So if Zephyrjohn has truly found a way to harness the control, he's not only deserving of that ninth inning, he could do a very fine job in it. Of course, there's going to be risk in his profile while that sample of control is so small. But Zephyrjohn's only 8% rostered in NFBC OC leagues, so he's probably going to be one of our better FAB targets on Sunday. Now we stay in LA, actually in LA, the Dodgers. The imminent return of Edwin Diaz will be a massive addition, of course, to the Dodgers bullpen, but I still expect them to be active in the reliever trade market anyway. They did just add Seth Halverson from the Rockies. I don't know if he's going to have much of an impact there. You know, obviously, it's a high velocity, high upside arm who could benefit from getting out of Colorado, but it's easy to see the Dodgers could still set their sights higher over the next few weeks. It is the Dodgers, after all. They've had excellent seasons out of a lot of their bullpen, Alex Vesia, Will Klein, Jack Dreyer, Edgardo Henriquez. But this team, I mean, surely they're going to target more help behind Edwin Diaz and Tanner Scott. So the Dodgers are one of those teams that could trade for somebody else's closer and destroy that pitcher's fantasy value because they're probably not saving games in LA. And our next team, the New York Mets. We know already that they're likely to be one of, if not the most active team at the trade deadline. The Mets have already announced that almost everyone outside of Juan Soto and some of their young core, like Nolan McLain, Christian Scott, AJ Ewing, Carson Benj, that almost everyone else can be had in a trade. So out of the bullpen, we should certainly see trades for AJ Minter, Brooks Raley, you know, they're lefties. They'll be pitching for new teams soon. That's not going to have a fantasy impact, though. What could would be setup man Luke Weaver. He's one of the top bullpen arms who could be available this year. He has prior closing experience for the Yankees, including in the playoffs. So we're likely to see Luke Weaver linked to every possible contending team. It's going to be very important to consider the source when reading those rumors, those reports. I've already seen Weaver linked to, you know, the Phillies, the Mariners, the Yankees again, where he pitched last season. And he would make sense for the Cubs. Now, Weaver certainly wouldn't close over Joan Duran or Andres Munoz, David Bednar. But if Luke Weaver were to end up on the Cubs, that could be interesting. It would all depend on Daniel Palencia's health. But, you know, as of right now, there's plenty more speculation to come for Weaver and the Mets relievers and that entire team. Now, I already mentioned the New York Yankees. This team isn't going into the final 2 months and, you know, into playoff series with Fernando Cruz, Camilo Doval, and Brent Hedrick behind David Bednar. We'll probably see the Yankees, like they are every year, linked to every impactful reliever rumored to be available. I don't think Bednar is in any danger of losing his job. I don't think the Yankees would, you know, target anyone who would supplant him. So a Yankees move is more likely to hurt someone else's fantasy value than Bednar's. Now, sticking with a team who could play fantasy spoiler, the Philadelphia Phillies are definitely one of those teams. They just lost Brad Keller to a torn UCL, so their depth is thin behind Joan Duran. Orion Kerkring and Jose Alvarado by themselves, that just won't cut it in an October playoff series. So expect the Phillies to be aggressive again this season like they were last year when they traded for Joan Duran. The Phillies are a team that will probably be linked to every high-profile reliever, you know, who could be part of a trade. Now, in Pennsylvania, over to Pittsburgh, there were some reports that came out yesterday, Monday, that the Pirates plan to be aggressive at the trade deadline if they can acquire pieces without increasing payroll. Good luck with that. If the Pirates are going to make any impactful trades, the bullpen is an area of need. Gregory Soto has not been reliable lately as the team's primary closer. You know, this is the season that we saw Dennis Santana's weak peripherals catch up with him. He's been pretty bad most of the year. Mason Montgomery, tremendous talent. He's really teased at times this season, but probably not quite ready for prime time. The Pirates could look to add a high-leverage righty who would have a chance to either slide into the ninth inning or at least create a timeshare with the left-handed Soto, maybe with some Mason Montgomery mixing in. But for right now, those rostering Soto should be planning for the possibility that he may lose his usefulness. All right, next up, we have the San Diego Padres. By far, the spiciest reliever trade chatter has been the possibility of the Padres trading Mason Miller. The game's best closer, their most dominant reliever, under club control through 2029. The price would be steep. Steeper than the Padres themselves giving up Leo DeVries for Miller just last year. Now, the Padres, they're only 2.5 games out of a wild card spot as of today, July 21st. Of course, that's not going to stop the rumor mill from churning out all these Mason Miller trade scenarios. Now, should Miller actually end up on another team, obviously there would be a massive ninth inning hole in San Diego. Normally, you'd consider guys like Jason Adam, Adrian Morejon, but they're both free agents at the end of the year. And Jason Adam actually is currently on the injured list. So it's probably Adam and Morejon that would be more likely to be trade candidates than Mason Miller. I think Jeremiah Estrada would be the best dark horse saves candidate on the Padres if indeed Mason Miller is traded. Estrada began a rehab assignment on Friday, so that marks the beginning of the last step in his return from knee inflammation. It helps him that this was not an arm injury. Estrada could be back before or near the trade deadline. And who knows, maybe, you know, possibly ready to step into some save chances if Mason Miller is no longer around and Adam and Morejon, you know, aren't part of that mix anymore. Clearly, that's a long shot, though. All right, up next we have the San Francisco Giants, and I've been tracking closer Caleb Killian's performance since he was officially handed that closer role back on June 12th, and it just keeps getting worse for him. Killian took his sixth loss of the season in a tie game last night, Monday, and he's got a 9.31 ERA, a whip over two, since he was named closer last month. Now, Killian does have a 16-3 strikeout to walk ratio in that time. He definitely hasn't been all bad. Now, the peripherals, the ERA estimators, they look a lot better than the surface stats. And Killian's, he's just had some terrible luck as well, but the results matter. And Caleb Killian has taken three losses and a couple blown saves in this past month. Now, we know or think we know, the Giants will be sellers. I've seen Keaton Wynn and Eric Miller's names floated as trade candidates. Now, the Giants have the former Tigers closer, Jason Foley. He just returned to the team after recovering from shoulder surgery. He was back just before the All-Star break. He's only pitched a couple times. But Foley is signed for this season, so he's likely auditioning for contending teams as well. If some of his competition is traded away, clearly that would help keep Caleb Killian in the closer role. But it's not going to matter who's left on the team if Killian keeps blowing saves and losing games. All right, now we'll finish up with the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners already have really an excellent bullpen, you know, headlined by their closer, Andrés Muñoz. But Matt Brash is on the IL with a lat strain. Don't really know when he could return. And the Mariners have stated their intention to seek another high leverage arm, which, you know, puts them in play as another potential fantasy spoiler if they trade for someone else's closer. Luke Weaver has been one of the names mentioned as a possibility connected to the Mariners. But that, of course, wouldn't alter any fantasy values. Weaver's already a setup man. He would continue to be a setup man. But that's all I've got for right now, anyway. So thank you for listening today to the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Catch up with me again on Saturday for the free agency preview show. That second Sunday before the trade deadline is always a wildly speculative week. So we'll try to have some fun and maybe nail down a few of our speculative additions. But until then, let's close it out.